Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Robbie.
And we are the hosts of Friends From Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
When you've exhausted your own friends with debates about whether Cap or Tony was right.
Tony, obviously.
Or you're trying to figure out why Thor the Dark World isn't actually that terrible.
Because it's not.
Well, we're here to pick up the slack.
So check out Friends From Work anywhere podcasts are found or visit theffwpodcast.com.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today I actually have my good friend Anastasia here with me. Jason's out of town, but he'll be back next Sunday. But we're here to talk about Murder Horny. So let's go on ahead. Let's talk about Murder Horny. And let's do this, guys. And hey, Anastasia, welcome back to the show.
Hi, so happy to be back. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's good to have you back. I know that we ended up talking about a lot of stuff that happened with the last episode, and we predicted some of it, and then some of it just fell through a little bit, but I like how we came up with some of the predictions and some of them came true. What about for you?
Yeah, I'm so happy by how this episode kind of morphed. I mean, not to get too far ahead, but it not happy, like, Dexter probably isn't that happy, but I am as a fan.
Right. As a Dexter fan, I am definitely happy with the way it went down. I love the fact that it opens back up to Dexter and Harrison having that confrontation where he's about to turn himself in, and Dexter's like, Harrison, what are you doing? Do not turn yourself in. Then they wind up going back to his house, and I was thinking to myself as they're doing this, like, Dexter's just thinking that they can just go ahead and just go about it like father and son relationships go, but this is a very different father and son relationship. Your father's a serial killer. You also told your son to shoot you in the woods, and now he's dealing with trauma because of things that you told him to do, and he actually owns up to the fact of what of that too. So that's like what I like about that too is Dexter also owns up to the fact, hey, look, I screwed up. I'm the one who told you to shoot me. You're dealing with the anxiety of that and on top of killing somebody else. And I also like this whole this other thing too, and it's just the fact that, you know, he's like, well, I'm sorry, so do you want to get a bite to eat? He's like, what makes you think that we can actually do this? He needs some time to process things, and Dexter's just like going all in father mode. But what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the character of Dexter, he's missing a couple things, and he processes things at a faster rate and different than normal human beings, especially like moody teenagers or however old Harrison is. I mean, how shocking to think that you killed your father, and then all of a sudden when you're about to put everything out on the line, he's alive. You know, right. So that's crazy in and of itself. And so I understand how Harrison needs time to process, and he's like, I need some time. I can't just like jump back into like the son role and have everything okay. There's some trauma that's happened, and we've got to talk through this in my time. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I love about Dexter too, is that he kind of owns up to the mistakes that he makes as much as he can, right, knowing that he has his own trauma, and he's obviously missing things that normal people go through. But he's dealing with it, I think, as best as he can. And I like that with the character, that he wants to be like a good dad, as good as he can be. Like, he's trying right. his best right now.
Right, exactly. And that's what I got out of that, though, too, is like, hey, I want to be the best father that I can be, but I can't be that father for you right now because you're not allowing me to, within good reason, though. I mean, Harrison's right. And I like the fact that he's like, look, Dad, I'm also having anxiety about this watch. I have this watch that's on me, and all I can hear is the fucking ticking sound. And then also, too, I like how he said this to Dexter, too. He's like, man, you're like a fucking horror movie villain.
He's like Jason, our friend.
Exactly. I want to. Michael Myers. Matter of fact, when Jason comes back, I want to ask him if he had a geek out moment with that, because he's a huge Jason Voorhees fan. So I'm kind of curious about that when he comes back. But yeah, and just like dark comedy of that aspect of it. And then he explained to him, hey, look, because of the snow, because of the cold, I was able to survive the shot. So that's what happened. And he's using the scientific way of actually explaining it to him. So I like that. And then, you know, it's just Dexter winds up taking the watch from Harrison. He's like, look, let me hold on to this for you. And I like how he's this fatherly being that he is. He's like, at first he's not doing it for himself or anything like that. He's doing it for his son to take away the anxiety that his son's having with this watch. And then you see, hear this, the watch tick. And then as he's taking it away from him, I like how it fades away, just calming Harrison a little bit. So yeah. I liked how they played with that.
And Dexter, like, totally takes control and protects Harrison. You know, like, I just like,
right.
You know, as like a dancer, I just like these type of like physical movements that, you know, it's a deeper meaning, you know, like a father's embrace, you know, or a parent's embrace. And so he's shielding Harrison from that. And obviously that's Harrison's guilt, because on one hand, he wants to protect that young woman who is going to be assaulted. And then on the other hand, he doesn't want to kill. Like, he doesn't have those instincts, those, like, he doesn't have that hunger or that itch.
Like Dexter has.
Like right. Dexter has, exactly. Yeah, so he's just obviously, like, rolling that around in his head and trying to make peace with it. But yeah, I think that's safest with Dexter. But, you know, I don't love where Dexter decided to like keep, well, actually, I mean, I'm talking about later on, he decided like hiding in an area. Am I getting too far ahead? Maybe.
No, it's okay. It's fine. You can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So like he gets another kind of like trophy case, right? With his,
right.
Slides, and he decides to hide them where the, where his, landlord's and
daughter,
that's where she likes to hide stuff. So I'm like, okay, are you guys just like, I mean, something's going to happen. Cause like, also that family is a little, not everybody, but like the mom, she's snoopy, which is fine. Cause like, I want to know who's living in my like apartment
right.
too. So that's valid. But just knowing how they work as humans, it's like, okay, I feel like we're going to have some kind of confrontation, and I hope he doesn't have to murder any of them.
Right. I don't see him murdering the family, not intentionally murdering the family, but...
Yeah, but there's been cases where he has to kill people to cover tracks where they weren't bad people, right? So
right.
It's like he'll choose himself at, or his family, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to self-preserve, you know?
Right. But that's a good point that you bring up, though, too, because the mother is Snoopy. You've seen that she did the whole entire background on Dexter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, I was snooping on my daughter. It makes you think I'm not going to snoop on you. And then there could be something that he gives himself away, or she feels like, maybe the mother feels like, okay, this dude's coming off kind of creepy. I need to investigate this further, but I need to go down into where he lives to find out if there's anything more about him.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, like, the
cliche,
like, parent move is that you're going to go sneak into, like, your kid's room to see if they're doing anything bad. And maybe she already knows about her daughter's, like, where she keeps her pot and stuff.
Right.
So I feel like they're building up to that. But I hope not also, because I feel like that's just, it's just too easy. You know, like,
yeah,
I want something that, like, takes some work and I didn't see coming. Because that's the problem with these things. It's like, I see a lot of this stuff coming.
Right, me too. It's like paint by the numbers kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Where we can see certain things coming because of a pattern that we've seen in all the other Dexter series. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely understand that. And then, you know, once Harrison walks off, then he gets a call from Detective Wallace. Because remember, he ends up calling her, and he hangs up. He goes, oh, never mind, I just changed my mind. I'm like, dude, you just screwed up again.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, you know, you called up the detective, and you want to turn yourself in, and then after that, you changed your mind because you want to turn yourself in, and now you're telling her that you changed your mind about why you wanted to come in and talk to her. So you had to make a BS story to backtrack everything, which doesn't even fall in... He's all over the place.
Yeah, he's totally suspicious, you know, that he's, like, hiding something. Yeah, I mean, obviously, she's... I there's so many characters in this series where I'm like, okay, there's just, like, a ticking time bomb for when Dexter's gonna strike and, like, get them out of the way because they just keep on becoming a problem.
Right. But
can we talk about Lady Vengeance and her insane twist?
Yeah, we can. I don't mind jumping around. We can definitely talk about Lady Vengeance because, you know, you, me, and Jason were all talking about this. Okay, maybe they'll team up. And sure enough, they were going to team up. And then Harry's like, I don't know about this, Dexter. You're teaming up with another serial killer and teaching her how you do things, even though you're not Red. You're teaching her how Red supposedly does things. And then, you know, I was also thinking this, too, at, like, the ballet. Because remember, he goes, you want to see Swan Lake? He goes, oh, that's the most boringest news fest that you can actually go to. I'm like, okay, either you don't like ballets and you're lying about who you are. That was strike one. Dexter should have actually seen right through her. Okay, she says she likes ballets. Based off the news report, she's into this theater stuff. But in reality, she isn't. So she isn't who she says she is. And then they go on a date for bowling. And I love the bowling aspect of it. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like Dexter's like, okay, I finally might get to have my chance to actually score. And with her, just as I'm throwing this strike. And she winds up bowling a strike. And then after that, she winds up saying, hey, look, why don't we team up and kill some people? And he's like, and he's thinking to himself, well, I can't just kill someone on random. It has to be someone that is innocent. That's what he's thinking to himself. But he also doesn't want to give himself away. And then I like how he goes, wait, you don't have a reflection hoodie like I do.
Yeah, so, that was a great save. Because I was like, how is he going to talk himself out of this one? Because she is so, like, ready to go. And she's, like, almost desperate for the next kill. Like, right. She doesn't care at all.
And you see, that's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to talk yourself out of this? And he's even got, like, the shot as well to actually knock her out. But how do you do that when you're in the back seat and stuff and you're going to try and do this? And he so. Does.
Right. And then he's gonna have to try to like drive.
Exactly. So I'm like, this doesn't work. But I like how he ends up playing it off. And he, look, you don't have a reflection hoodie like I do. Your face is gonna be shown, so we cannot do this. So he winds up chickening out. So she's like, well, I'm out for blood. So Lady Vengeance goes over to another nightclub, finds this stock market guy, and brings him back home for some bondage time. But I just thought it was interesting on how Dexter frames her for the killing that Harrison did, just as he framed Doakes for being the Bay Harbor butcher.
Yes. Let's back up just a tiny bit. So like the whole revelation that she doesn't have a code, that she's just a killer for blood and it doesn't matter who it is, was totally crazy. And as a female fan, I was like, yay, she's going to die.
Right, because you know I looked at my wife.
I'm like, okay, no, Dexter, you don't need a girlfriend.
Exactly, because I looked at my wife, though, Anna. This is what I said to her. I said, she's going to wind up on his table.
Totally, yeah. No, so the whole, like, okay, from rethinking about it, yes, I should have saw that part coming, that he was going to plant, you know, the watch on her to cover Harrison, but that was a total surprise. I was like, yes, good job. Like he's being like a great dad, you know, like totally rooting for the father of the year. I mean, at the end of the day, we all want, I mean, Dexter fans all want to see Dexter get away with it. And that includes his family at this point, you know, it's like, no matter what, everyone else can just like fly off of a cliff. I want Dexter and Harrison to be okay at the end of the day.
Exactly, because we're also anticipating, too, is he going to get caught? What's the ending for Dexter for this season and stuff, too? So that's also what we're anticipating as well. And, you know, the scene that I liked was whenever you had the watch in one hand and then you have the needle in the it's like, I was actually thinking this. It's like his old life was the needle. His new life is this New York City, which represents the watch. And it's like, do I need to go and be a serial killer out for blood, do the new way with the watch in my hand and take other ways of taking trophies? Or do I continue doing what I normally do and have the syringe in my hand? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that counterbalance of how do I approach this, which I thought was pretty neat. That's how I represented it, the needle to the watch in that one scene. What did you think?
So interesting. Yeah. I mean, I feel like just because at that, once Dexter woke up from a coma, he had a fork in the road. He had two choices, either to go on his merry way and not be a dad, just like be singular and go do his killings, mm-hmm. which is, you know, old school Dexter, or go find his son and make amends. And so I kind of felt like he's always going to choose at this point, you know, his son and protecting his son. Cause yeah, right. You can see like there was maybe a little bit of an itch, but also his mark was, you know, what's her name? Mia or, you know, Lady Revenge.
Yeah, Lady Vengeance.
Well, Vengeance. There we go. But yeah, so everything, I feel like when he was trying to talk to her and then they were trying to find a target together, I feel like all of that was fake. It didn't feel like truthful in his sense, because we all know he has to build the kill. He's got to build his, you know, to do like,
right. He's got to build, right. He's got to build his case before he kills somebody and know that they're innocent. And then even he ends up asking her, are the people that you're killing innocent? Just, well, mm-hmm. define what you mean by innocent.
Yeah, just, and well, how evil is she? I mean, it started out as righteous because we get a little hint of her background, but I feel like that was always, it was just going to be a matter of time because she is so in, she's so like bloodthirsty. Mm-hmm. You know, just the vibe that we get from her. It's like once she's done masking and pretending about who she is, which she let her guard down with Dexter, which was a mistake.
Right.
But when she was finished doing that, like how like insane and chaotic and just wanting to kill, you know, she was sloppy, and that's not right. Dexter. Dexter is very calculated. Everything, you know,
everything has a motive. Everything has a reason.
Motive and clean. You know, he wouldn't be doing it in the middle of his apartment with the window shades open.
Right, exactly. And then he also said, wait, you bring these men home with you and you kill them in your home?
Yeah, yeah. I know. She wasn't thinking.
No. And then he even sees the trophies in that little wind-up jewelry box in your living room. I'm like, wait.
Didn't she show him that? Wasn't there a moment, or did he just figure it out on his own?
I think he just stumbled by, if I'm remembering correctly, I think he just breaks into her house and sees the jewelry box.
Mm. No, I mean before when they, like, she invited
him. Yeah, okay, yeah. Over,
right? So I forget if there was a moment where she showed it or if he just stumbled, because he's a little nosy too.
Right, he is. He's a little nosy. But yeah, you're right, though. I think maybe she showed it to him, or there was something like that in the apartment from like the last episode.
Yeah. And then also, could we talk about, so Lady, she says, she mentions that to her victim that it's her first victim in New York.
Right.
And so I feel like that's going to haunt Dexter and Harrison with the watch if the victim talks and says, no, this is her first victim, like she said. But also it's kind of like how much are you going to believe a serial killer when they've obviously killed, like she has so many trophies that they could research. But I just like, it's a little bit of a loophole that I hope they don't follow it, just because for me I feel like it's like a cheap move. But like if they it's like it's a very small chance that the detective connects Lady Vengeance to you know, Harrison, and right. then ultimately Dexter, but it's a little bit there. It's like the fingerprints in the evil layer, you know what
right.
I mean?
And that's what I was thinking too, like though.
Little open-ended issues.
Right. And you see, that's something that I was thinking about too, Anastasia, was like this, like, she has all those trophies, and could they link them up to the other kills that she had in her past, and then link it up? And I actually was thinking about this morning. This is the stuff I think about. But I was actually thinking about this morning, was could that watch link it back over to Harrison? The only way that it can is because of Batista. Because Batista could probably say, hey, look, this does not represent who Lady Vengeance is. And based off of this guy that Dexter saved, this guy was just a random guy and not someone that Lady Vengeance. Here's the thing. We know her background because of her interaction with Dexter, right? the news outlets quotes her as like a hero. So
yes, yeah.
So this guy is just a random. So they can't even see that this is actually a horrific thing or anything like that. So that's also a different picture that she painted with the media to now how she represents with Dexter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she seems to hate the press's view of her, which is like righteous kills, right. And that she's like, quote unquote, like kind of the good guy. You know, she's like the Batman, the Caped Crusader of it.
Right.
In their eyes, because, I'm trying to think about with the Bay Harbor Butcher. I think they figured out that they were all bad guys too, right?
Yeah.
Like the victims. And then that's how they thought that it might be like somebody, a detective or somebody in the police force.
Yeah, because.
And that's where Dexter got the idea, but maybe not.
No, you're right. Because right? There was actually one season where you actually have that older FBI agent comes in. There's a love interest between Deb and him.
Yeah.
And there's also that thing of, oh, snap. They found all the body parts below in the ocean, and they bring it back to Dexter, and Dexter's having to basically do a transcript of trying to fool them. He had to do this whole entire thing, but that's also another thing too, is that agent actually makes sense that it's somebody within the police force that's doing the killing. So you're actually right about that, because I remember that one particular season.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
It's just certain things sticks with me, and that was the season that was like on my toes, because I'm like, is he going to get caught? Is he not going to get caught? They found all the body parts, and they wind up saying, okay, these are the bad guys that he killed. So
I wonder how Lady Vengeance is going to talk herself out of this one, because if like the press thought that she was a good guy and was doing all of these kills to bad guys, so that makes me feel like maybe her previous like victims were possibly mostly bad guys, and then this rando guy who's probably just a nice person, this new one who survives. Right. So it's like it doesn't add up. So I wonder how she's gonna deal with that. And then to talk about also with like Uma Thurman's character
visiting Charlie.
Her in prison or wherever they have her. I literally thought she was going to kill her, like, somehow. And I'm like, how are you going to talk yourself out of that one now?
Well, I was also thinking this, too, of, like, this is just a friendly visit of, like, hey, look. It's like a gangster type of thing, right? Where, like, they send in the enforcer. And she's like, look, I already know the rules. I already know the regulations. I'm not going to say anything or anything like that. And I already know that I'm out of this dinner thing. So Charlie knows now that she doesn't have to worry about her snitching or anything like that on Leon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, people do idiot things all the time, you know. So, but yeah, the fact that she can come in and visit her and there's no problem. But also they offered to pay all of her expenses and to, like, get her out soon. So I wonder if she's going to be back on the street. And I wonder if she's going to put 2 and 7 together and know that Dexter is the one, like, what I mean? Like, there's so many possibilities. And then did she say, I don't remember, did she say that she's out of the dinners? Like,
she's not allowed to attend dinners or anything. There's too much heat on her.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yep. So, and she also knows too not to talk about the dinners or anything like that either, because that's also another thing.
Yeah, that Charlie was worried about. This billionaire.
Right. And speaking of Charlie and Leon, let's talk about them too, real quick, too.
Yes, please.
So, Charlie is visiting her mom. Her mom has cancer. My wife's like, why is she telling her that she's a teacher? I said, because it's a lot easier to lie to your mom to tell her, hey, look, I'm actually a driver for this guy who loves to collect serial killer memorabilia, and he also likes to sit down with other serial killers. It's easier to paint her a picture of something that's innocent versus something that's dark. So she lies to the mother to make it, because maybe she did have a degree in teaching. And so, or maybe she flunked out and she's just lying to her because here's the thing, her mom has cancer. She doesn't want her mom to be remembered that she's been taking care of this billionaire who collects serial killer stuff and also has serial killer dinners. you know?
Yeah. I mean, we also don't really know how lucid her mother is and how safe it would be for Uma to disclose all of this information. Also, we don't know how much she's built a fake life in her mother's view in her world. Right. And how far this goes back. I mean, obviously, Uma looks like a trained killer. She looks like she's on the police force and she has connections. So, yeah, I wonder if she had to, like, if she does, like, undercover kind of stuff where she can't even tell her family that she's a police officer. You know, like,
right, I get what you're saying.
How far it goes. And then that kind of leads me to believe, like, okay, so, like, does she know about Dexter being Dexter, you know, because, right. Like, his whole history, just not even to do with the Bay Harbor Butcher stuff, but his whole stuff with Rita and his, you know, on paper serial killer encounter with that, because, you know, that was huge news at the time,
right?
Obviously, when it happened. So I feel like that would blow through the police force and everybody would know what Dexter looks like.
Right. You know? Because get this, I actually watched another YouTube video before we started this, and they were speculating that Leon knows that Dexter is who he says he is, and that remember that podcast that we had from Dexter Newblood, the podcaster? I don't know if you do.
No, I don't.
Okay, so this podcaster is investigating serial killers, true crime stuff, and things like that. So they're thinking, well, Leon has to know about Dexter through the podcast because it's a nationwide thing. So therefore, maybe Leon might know. But also, too, they're also speculating that because of him changing his name whenever during the Trinity Killer Thanksgiving Day thing that happened. And, you know, they actually had a drawing of Dexter of what he looks like at the dinner and stuff like that. So they're actually aiming more towards the fact that Leon knows that Dexter, that he is Dexter. But I even think that might be a little stretch for right now, but it's a good speculation.
Yeah. I mean, I have some theories about Peter Dinklage's character, because like we got some more intel about how both of his parents died in a hit and run, like in a
car crash
with like somebody who was under the influence, right? And so he ended up going to a foster home. And so this is another like kind of theory that's like a little bit difficult, but I kind of wonder if he was also like born in blood with that experience. And there's like a couple of versions of that. It's like, did he kill his parents? You know, did he like go crazy and not get his way or whatever? You know, and then like they ended up dying, or did he meet like Brian in the foster care system? Right. Like is there any connections with that? Or is he, I mean, because it's like when you lose your parents, it's like, why, if you're dealing with all of that to overcome, and then but then you're fans of serial killers and you're inviting them and you're funding them to continue to kill.
Right, you're entertaining the idea of
supporting their addiction by giving them like copious amounts of money and then kind of protecting them and bringing them to your place. You know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly.
Like, Blur's weird, super weird, because he broadcasts himself as this like, oh,
billionaire,
you know, right. Like, I'm so innocent, ha, 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 you know, and then you see him like behind the scenes and he's like pretty rude to Uma.
Right, because,
you know,
I have this saying, right, because you remember Batman versus Superman with Lex Luthor. It's like, you want to go on ahead and present yourself during the daytime as your best behavior. And then at nighttime, when you are behind closed doors, that's when we really become our true selves. So basically, with Peter Dinklage's character, is the same kind of way, especially with the interview. Is like, oh, Leon, you're a professional chef. You're a billionaire philanthropist. And the list just goes on. What happened to you? What was your background? And you're absolutely right. Like, what exactly made him say, hey, look, I love serial killers. I want to have dinner with them. I want to have a Hannibal Lecter style sit down with everybody.
Yeah, so, and I collect their like murder weapons and victims. It's fine. It's normal. Right,
it's perfectly normal.
It's normal. Love right. it. Love that for him. Yeah, no, it's super freaking weird and creepy. And I feel like he's probably the most evil one out of the bunch, because the other ones, like, they have something wrong with them. And we'll find out what's wrong with him, because obviously it's not normal.
No. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe his parents got killed by a serial killer.
Well, I was thinking, like, I wonder if there's any crossover with like Red and his, you know, the Dark Passenger, like the real one. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any crossover between his dad and like Peter Dinklage. Like, did his dad cause that accident because he's like I don't know.
Right.
Because he was going into depression or something, but he didn't say like anything like, oh, there was a car accident and that kind of like, you know, that was
even the idea
to the downward spiral of my, you know what I mean? So like,
right, exactly.
I'm so hungry for like, I love Dexter. I love that universe. So I don't mind like inventing these.
Me too. I like inventing the wheel, to be honest with you, because
or scenarios, like, you know.
This is also why, too, I like...
They're there.
Right. But this is also, too, why I like weekly episodes, to where we can actually use our imaginations and speculate and stuff like that, versus binging a show out, and then we're fully digested to the point where we forget about everything that we talked about.
Yeah, the little minor details every episode. It's nice to be able to deep dive these theories. And then, okay, so also with Peter Dinklage's character, the whole thing about him wanting to be quiet about paying for, like, mortgages for these like foster kids, or like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wonder where that's going to go. Cause that was so random, you know, like there's a lot of time spent on that, on like building that thing for his character, you know?
Right.
So it's like, he ends up getting all this information from people, you know, to like pay that bill for them. So or does he follow these kids and see if they become bad? Like, does he follow their life and knows how to like keep track of them, you know? And how many of the serial killers in his dinner parties or in the past, how many of them were in the foster care system, you know?
Exactly.
We haven't gotten to know what's Al and who's the other one.
There's a bunch of other serial killers.
Like, we're totally forgotten about them. Like, I hope we get to deep dive them too.
I think we will. I think that we will get to do that. But I like the fact that it focuses on one serial killer at a time, in a sense. So it's like, okay, well, we got rid of Lady Vengeance, so now Dexter doesn't have to kill her. Now she's in prison, so Dexter will go on ahead and figure out these other serial killers. And he even mentioned the same thing that we mentioned. If these killers go missing, they're going to look at him. So,
obviously. Right. Yeah, no, I'm glad that he saw that little flaw in his righteous system, you know?
Right. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, like, once he works his way up to Leon's going to be on that table for entertaining the idea of having serial killers.
Oh, completely. I mean, he
goes... And Charlie, too.
He goes against Dexter's, like, morals, you know, just, like, the whole supporting, because it's, like, how many different like, you know, victims have they killed under his support?
Right, exactly.
Because like for Dexter, it's like he tries to get them off the street, you know, like these serial killers, these murderers, or evil people, let's say, he gets them off the street, which is great.
Exactly.
Then bypassing the legal system.
But then we actually have this other thing too now with Batista still he's trying to bring that subplot back. Like, he's trying to bring all that back, because if there's anything, that's going to be the one that winds up saying, hey, look, it doesn't add up to Lady Vengeance being the serial killer. Yes, she killed all these other people, but at the same time, though, that watch doesn't represent who she is.
Yeah, no, the writers are really trying to make Batista work for this season. Like, Batista's like, Bay Butcher murderer, you know, like Dexter Morgan. Did everybody forget, you know? He's always like hassling them. But I like that on paper, it just looks like he's, you know, stalking them. So he doesn't really have anything. I mean, I guess with like the body being cut up in 9 pieces and right. the trash bags, like that was kind of a dumb move
on Harrison's part. But yeah. at the same time, because yeah. even Dexter was able to know. Track him.
Yeah, he didn't know.
But also, too, we can also put in for Lady Vengeance as well, which is Mia. And he can even say, hey, look, that's not even her style, because her style is bondage. But made her think about all of a sudden chopping this one dude up into a million pieces. Unless it's like, well, she was in a rush. She needed to hurry up and get the body. Right. I'm just bored. I just don't really feel like setting up that bondage thing in a hotel room.
A lot of
you know,
work.
It's just too much work.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, when is Batista going to get caught? Because he's hassling, you know, Harrison, and he's going to end up finding where Dexter lives, and he's going to be probably at his door or sneaking around his apartment. Maybe he finds it and then Dexter has to off him, you know?
Right, maybe. But another thing, too, that we have to think about, too, is with Harrison and Dexter, because remember, he goes, wait, so Batista made me think that you were dead.
Yeah, so he's going to be pissed.
Right.
Yeah, so, that was an evil move. Very manipulative of Batista, obviously. Well, he's like, I feel like he's lost it. He's lost, like, all credibility for me. I know that he's working on instincts and he thinks what he's doing is right. And technically, I know Dexter's bad, but I'm always, like, rooting for our naughty boy.
Me too. I'm rooting for him to get away with it and stuff and yeah. not get caught. But you know, with Batista, he's just working my nerves a little bit, and I used to love Batista, but he's just that retired cop that just can't get past everything. But I wouldn't mind seeing like a sit down with, like you mentioned on like the last episode, where all of them sit down together. Hey, look, I'm here for my son. I'm not here for anything, because it's still explainable. Everything is still explainable right now.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, there's moment. Circumstantial like evidence, as they say, right? And then I would love to see Dexter come in strong and be like, hey, back the F up, you know, leave me and my family alone. Like, this is enough playtime, you know, go back to Miami or wherever, you right. know? Because it's like, if somebody was picking on my kid, you better believe, like, watch out.
Right. I'll be going up to the Miami Metro Police Department. Hey, look.
Yeah.
You have a retired cop on your field right now harassing me. I'm not doing anything wrong.
That's what he should do. He should get some money from it, and then we can have Dexter funded again, and he can have all of his fun, like little knife set and all of the plastic wrap he wants.
Exactly, endless supply of plastic wrap.
Yes, yes.
So I know we catch this a little bit, and then I think that'll be the end of the breakdown. But you know, when we talked about Harrison, whenever he missed the call from the station and attracts attention, Detective Wallace returns the call. And then whenever he's in the interrogation room, he goes, yeah, I felt kind of guilty about, you know, about trying to save this girl or whatever. And she's like, wait, that's an interesting word, guilty. And I'm like, you are such an idiot.
Yeah.
But, you know, But still, I think that this is going to be like an open book case, though, right now. Open because of the fact that they got Mia and they have the watch. And then according to her partner, he's like, okay, well, we got our serial killer. But Wallace is like kind of like Batista in a way. And I don't think she's going to be that hesitant. I think she's going to be optimistic enough to say, hey, look, this is not the right person that we have. I think that we have the serial killer, but we have the wrong person for this kill.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be some kind of, well, I hope there is some kind of revelation. I wouldn't be surprised if her like detective partner is doing something, like if he's some kind of killer too. I don't know. I feel like there should be a twist with that. But right, that might just be my like insanity hoping for another twist.
Right. But I could see Batista and her teaming up.
Because like he's so quiet and I'm like, there's always something when they throw red herrings in and then there's a like one of the characters is very quiet until the end. Right. You know what I mean? And I'm always watching. I watch a lot of like English crime dramas. So
I think that's interesting though that you mentioned that because I wouldn't have thought that. I really wouldn't have thought that maybe the partner might be a killer or something. That's very interesting.
Yeah, because like now he stepped back. He was like kind of like out front, you know, and I feel like for some reason the writers decided to kind of ditch him because you don't see him that often right now.
No,
like,
you don't.
He's not in the interrogation. He's not like on the phone call, you know, like they're not right. both on the
he's
phone
He's also not
call.
Behind the glass in the interrogation room. It's just always Lawless working the case when you see him.
And I think that would be a smart move if they did something like that. But, you know, I got to write my own crime thrillers.
I like that idea, though. I wouldn't mind that idea, just to play it off the narrative of it.
Yeah. And then, okay, can we talk about how cool? So I was talking about Michael C. Hall's, his music band. And then, go figure, during the credit sequence, we've got his Eden Eraser song.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And, you know, the lyrics actually kind of coincide with the episode in a sense as well, you know?
Okay.
For me, it does.
Yeah.
But I have to go back and reanalyze everything, though, too, just to make sure. But just for me, I always try to make a connection with why they put music in a certain episodes like they do, because I did the same thing whenever I did Dexter New Blood, and they put in Soundgarden, for example. And I actually said that was very fitting for Dexter to be able to use that, you know?
Yeah. But well, that's one of my favorite songs of his. So, like, his Princess Go band, and then, Princess Goes. And then, so that was a track off of their Thanks for Coming album from, like, 2021. And out of the album, I find myself listening to that song all the time. And I actually want to, like do some, like, because I'm a dancer and a choreographer, so like right. I want to do like a little video like dancing to it because it's like very inspiring and I love the song. The only problem was because it's part of the credits, they really mixed it low, so you could hardly, it just sounds like Michael C. Hall's like whispering, but it's such like a killer song when you hear it. I always suggest to listen to music on like headphones so you can hear all the background and the bass and everything like that. But I was a little tiny bit disappointed that they mixed it so low and they had the like sound effects going over the song. And then they did like some kind of quick credit mix. So like you didn't even get the full scope of the song. But if anybody hasn't heard it, please go check it out. Wonderful band. So many good songs. But that's one of my favorite songs out of all of their songs.
Exactly.
That was so exciting. And it kind of got ruined for me because I follow the band on, you know, social media, like on Instagram and stuff. So they were posting stuff like in the middle. I'm in LA. So obviously like the East Coast gets, you know, access and everything like earlier than I do. But like, I don't know. I like watching, even if it's streaming, I like to watch shows like later at night with my husband Ricky, and right. So like throughout the day I had to like bob and weave like avoiding.
I'm the same
spoilers.
Way though. Like I'll end up doing the same thing with my wife.
Yeah, the band like totally spoiled it, and I was like, oh no! So I knew going in it was gonna be, but I got to tell my husband like, oh yeah, that's him singing, even though he can't really hear it. But I promise it's great.
But this is the lyrics verse 2 of that song. This is the one that I was telling you about, that because it says, things I never told you, down on my knees, why not let me hold you, give me your weight, what's worth saving just today. So I was thinking to myself, this is actually him talking to Harrison, begging him on his knees and for forgiveness for what happened to Rita, what happened in the past and things like that. So that was one aspect of it. And then what's worth saving just for today, when he has the rest of his life to be able to be a father to his son.
Yeah. And then, yeah. No, that crosses over. That makes sense. Yeah.
And then Scary, even though, you know, it's
like he's the star of the show, and so he can get his music used whenever he wants.
Right. And then there's also that eat and erase her, dismiss your brain. Fate can make you face her. Either way is fine. She is fine. And so I'm thinking that's like Lady Death.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it kind of counterbalances the episode to fitting the characters and the narrative of what the plot line is. So that's just me basically overanalyzing it a little bit, but I like to geek out and try to put music in. Thank you.
I love that. I didn't even get a chance to think about how that resonated with the episode or Dexter as a series. So that's really interesting. I'm going to keep that in mind, just knowing that that's where your head goes, you know, so that we can have more to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's fun. When I was listening to the song on my own, because I'm an obsessive person, and it works well for my work because I'm an actor and a creator, right, and a producer and everything. So I get hyper fixated on like movies or shows or you know, learning or songs, and so I listened to it back to back like thousands of times. So I was listening to this one, and I was like, I wonder if, like, before I knew it was used for Dexter, but I was like, this song kind of sounds like it's from the perspective of like a pet dog or something like that. Because they're talking about a vacuum, like how scary it is, and like the toilet flushing. I was like, you know, it's just like in my head, I was like, I wonder if like the POV is like the dog or the animal.
Being scared of sounds. You know, like, right.
It's from that version, and they're like watching their human, like, I don't know, do daily chores or something like that. But that's goofy for me to say during a Dexter.
I like that, though. I like that aspect that you brought to that, though, too. But yeah, with me, whenever I hear songs and stuff in like movies or TV shows, I'm like, well, how does this emulate the soundtrack to this? Because sometimes people just put in songs for the sake of having them.
Hmm.
But if it's there to actually increase the plot and it's there to actually enhance it, I like to actually analyze it based off of that, those things. And
yeah, no, you're right. Like, I feel like when you're dealing with films or like high budget films and high budget like TV shows and stuff, like there are choices made because like they can have anything that they want, you know, because they can afford licensing music and stuff. And so, yeah, that probably has to have a connection to what's going on in that, like, in this case, in the episode or with the character or something. So I like that definition, and I like that thought process. Because, yeah, obviously, like, a composer, even if it's, like, sourced music, like, music that, you know, like, you get a James Brown song or something like that, it's something that's sourced outside of an original score, like, you know, a composer is generally very talented and will choose those things for specific reasons.
Exactly. You
know, to convey a tone or an emotion within the aspect of, you know, the project.
Right.
So just I totally like agree with that. I love that thought.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. That means a lot to me because I feel that way with scoring, though, too, which is why I like Danny's music as well. Because
he's such a storyteller, isn't he? And such a conveyor of like insanely like joyful, and then it just like gets deep and dark and gut wrenching. He actually just released. It was a French Dracula film. And the score was just released a couple days ago, and I've been completely obsessed with it. If you ask me what my favorite song is, I love all of them, but my ultra favorite is A Bloody Meal.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
It's so crazy. Yeah, you have to. It's Dracula. It's kind of like the origin story of Dracula, and it has
everything I ever wanted.
Christoph Waltz, and it has, oh God, I'm blanking on the main Dracula. He's so good. He's such a great actor. But he was in David Lynch's Twin Peaks: The Return, the 2017 reboot series. And he played a character. And he's been in a lot of other things, but that one always sticks with me because it's such a dramatic, like, deep, like, performance that he did. But yeah, it looks killer. I can't wait until it's released stateside so I can see it, because everything, all the little clips that I've seen is amazing. So thanks for bringing up Danny. So now I can like gush on this new project.
Because seriously, I remember on the school bus, I'm listening to the Men in Black soundtrack and I'm over there scoring like as if I'm like Danny. And I'm also imagining stuff within that. Also do the Batman theme song for Tim Burton for like the two movies and the Edward Scissorhands. Matter of fact, let me show you this. I've got an Edward Scissorhands.
Okay, amazing.
So
I should grab my I've got a Batman like from the Batman Returns release of Batman and
that's really cool.
They were mine as a kid, the Batman and Catwoman, and I've got Penguin too.
But still,
but I have to like collect them. They're like under like a dome glass. Have to protect the babies.
I understand. That's how I am with my stuff, though, too. But hands down, Danny's one of my favorite scorers ever since I was in school. I grew up with Danny, basically, through the generations so of music.
He's so inspiring. He does these live shows, and I walk away. These new, he does, like, Live to Picture, Nightmare Before Christmas, the music of Tim Burton films. Like, he has different shows, and then he's got his from Boingo to Batman. So it's like a compilation of his whole career. So it's like the rock band stuff. It's the score stuff, you know, like Simpsons, Pee Wee, Wednesday, all of that kind of stuff. And then his new album work, Big Mess. And he's coming out with a new album, a new rock album pretty soon too. So it's so exciting. And I'm so glad that you're
here. Thank you. I just love how he explores stuff. Here's the thing, I just love the way he explores stuff. He keeps himself busy and occupied with different range of music. So that's why I love his alternative side to different things. And he's very creative with it. So yeah, I just want to bring him up real quick. But since we're on the topic of music, but still, this is a great episode. This is a great deep dive that we did. I can't wait for us to talk about the next episode after this one. But yeah, that's everything that's going on as right now. But I will have Josh Prey on. We're going to be doing the Naked Gun reboot.
Review. I just saw that like last night on date night with my husband, Richard.
What do you think?
I have some thoughts.
Okay. But yeah, we're going to be reviewing that on Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We're going to be doing that with comedian Josh Prey. And then Airborne with Doom Generation podcast. That's going to be on August 7th at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. That's going to be two live shows for this month so far, but that's about it as far as this review goes. I hope that everybody has a great and safe day, and thank you so much for listening and watching. And don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe button. Also, too, give us a 5-star review wherever you guys get your podcast from at Movie Loves Unite. Tell us what you think. Email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com. And thank you so much, Anastasia. I do appreciate you coming on the show, talking about Dexter.
Yes, thanks so much. And everybody can find me on social media. I'm Dahlia DeMont under my stage name on Instagram and on Facebook. I'm Anastasia Elfman and on YouTube. So I'm around. Come and find me. And let's have movies.
Do me a favor. After the show, send me out all your socials and I'll put them in the description.
Perfect. That would be great. Wait. Love
all right. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it. Go ahead and check out Anastasia. Check out Danny's new album whenever you guys get a chance. And always until next time, guys.
In a town blanketed in snow, a man hides his truth beneath